your son or your daughter to be sacrificed for me? That'd be a hard thing to do. But God knew that the price had to be high. So he said, Jesus, here's the situation. These people are backwards to what I had them programmed to be and wanted them to be. So you're going to have to pay the price. And I don't know how much resistance he got, but Jesus says, you know, I can do that, Dad, because I love these people. Right. And he did love us. He loved us all the way to the cross, all the way to the tomb. He loved us all the way to the resurrection. He loved us all the way as he rose up and he left us here. And I'm telling you, he gave us authority to do what he did. And I done got to page 10. So we're going to quit right there, just a minute. Oh, peace is when a person enters in that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he is made righteous. If you walk under the blood of Jesus, there's no doubt, there's no mistake, you are righteous in your spirit. Yes, like me, I do dumb things. But all I have to do is, Father, forgive me. And that righteousness is powerful. Here's where we find our soul peace. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him, which is my heart and my life and my family, until the day that he returns. I forgot the rest of the scripture. I got excited. Romans 8 and 6. For to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life, life abundant, life in authority, life full, right, and peace. We can lay down at night, shut our eyes, and let the thunder roll over us because we can command the storm to leave us alone. When the devil comes in and tries to overcome us, we can say, Jesus, take care of this guy. He's your problem. I don't need to deal with him other than I'm not going to listen to him. All right. Romans 8 and 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And ladies, you are good-looking sons of God. He didn't leave you out. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Anybody know what an ambassador is? A representative? Yeah. Ooh. When you go to Kroger's, back in the city. When you go to Brookshire's, you are an ambassador for Christ. And it's fun. I love to whistle in the store. And some little old granny lady will say, don't you know it's impolite? I said, lady, I'm happy, and Jesus said I could whistle. I get all kinds of looks, and I talk to all kinds of people. And I just love on them a little bit. And Clay and I talked to one lady one day. She had gold on every finger, diamonds in her ears. And I mean, this lady had too much gold on. And she told me her life story, where she lived, and she didn't lock the door at night, you know. Talking about, oh, honey, you don't need to tell people that. But she was strong in her faith, I guess, because she believed she's going to be safe. True peace comes being in right standing with God.
Yes, it is.
Reconciled. Oh, my goodness. If you'll get that down in your spirit, and any time that there's opposition comes to you, you know, just, hey, man, I am walking in the blood under the covenant, and if I get in trouble, I'm going to call on Jesus, and he's going to go cluck, cluck, and I'm going to run like a little chick into the arms and under the feathers, into the pinions of warmth and love, and I'm going to be there with my Lord and Savior. Oswald Chambers, most of y'all know who he is. He has a good devotion book, says this. The Sermon on the Mount is not a set of rules and regulations. It's a statement of the life we will live when the Holy Spirit directs our every move and permeates our heart and our mind. And that's neat. And then Charles Spurgeon comes right behind him and says, the seven Beatitudes mark a deepening humiliation and a growing exaltation in the proportion as men rise in righteousness and divine blessing, they sink in the estimation of their own worth. And they can do the, and he uses this word, humblest. I don't know whether it's a word or not. Don't sound good. But you can do the most humble work that you need to do. If you need to shine somebody's shoes, you can get down on, take a can of polish and you can shine their shoes. Or you can walk into the White House and you can proclaim, the Lord says. You can go to your friends and say, you've been on my heart. You need to pray for her. I need to pray for you. God said, if you won't get mad, you get mad. God said, I don't want him mad. But I can. You can do that. It's not rules. It's not regulations. It's a way of life. And as the pastor told us over the last few weeks, is the definition of being blessed equals being cleansed, which equals being purged, which equals being purified, which equals being pruned. Uh-oh. You know what I do to my peach trees every winter? I prune them, snip, snip, snip. But you know what? In the pruning of that tree, I don't cut it down at the root to prune it. I prune out the water stems and what doesn't make fruit, what's going down this way that will break off, and there's a way to do it, and so I prune. And there's a way that God prunes us. It reminds me of the definition that I went way back in the Hebrew and found. It says that pruning is like the fingers touching a stringed instrument. Now, David can touch this keyboard over here. He can make it sound like a stringed instrument. They go across. It's neat. But God wants to touch us and prune us and use these fingers to raise our spirits, to encourage us, to authorize us to go out and to win others to him. Now, here's what God really does when he wants to prune us. At our bidding, he says, all the worldly growth that slows you down, I will remove. All the desires that stop you dead still in your tracks when you want to go win someone to Jesus, I'll remove that. He said, I'll remove the hesitation to disciple a young man or a young girl in the Word of God. He said, I will remove the fear that I can't mentor someone in Jesus. He will give us the power to go into the darkest of places and rescue the lost, and to bring spiritual and physical healing to those in need. That's what God does. He wants to do that. Now, most of you know I was a policeman for a long time. I wore a big old gun. That gun was not my authority. My authority was in a little piece of tin up here on my chest, which the city council, the government, told me that I could wear the star and wear the gun and do their bidding. That's where my authority comes from. Now, I can put my gun on and go out there and get in trouble, but I don't have any authority. I just have a means of getting in trouble. God wants the needs of the people to strike your heartstrings. Fingers that need love desperately, for you have in your power the ability to make music in their souls. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. If we can harness Tucker Street kids, families, in the power of Jesus, we can walk through Quitman, Texas like a hurricane. We had kids over last night. I'm telling you what, they had a ball. We fed them good, let them play candy and ride on the horse, wooden horse. But anyway, God wants this kind of power. That's what he wants. He can bring power to overcome sin and to tell the lost in a nice way, you need to be born again. You need to change your life. And you, through your personal relationship, can teach people to praise and edify the Lord. Ooh, you're an ambassador. What happens to ambassadors of the United States when they go to some country that likes us, at least? They're respected and revered. They have great power. You have great power through the blood of Jesus and in Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they shall become the children of God. We want to be children of God. We are children of God. And we're going to stay that way, right? Hey, somebody say amen. Or go home one. All right. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be the children of God. So how do we become peacemakers? First step, born again. Second step, allow the Holy Spirit to lead our lives and our desires. Third, I've already said this once, get in the Word, hear the Word in the print, and then go to prayer and hear God's Word in your heart and in your soul. God spoke to Abraham. He was not even a worshiper of our God. God spoke to Moses. He was raised Egyptian, and he killed a man. God spoke to the prophets in the Old and New Covenants, and he has not changed his covenant. God still wants to talk. But through the ages, the enemy has propagated incorrect teaching, incorrect theology. He's made looking godless look better than being godly. Isn't that a shame? He's caused strife in the covenant fellowship, giving the body of Christ a bad name, a bad reputation. The enemy's convinced all the churches basically to draw in to the four walls and do all of our whatever we do inside these four walls. But Jesus says, go ye therefore. Go you outside. Go into the neighborhood. And yesterday, as we had this little food for friends situation, we got to went knocked on the door and just kind of begged people to come out. And here comes this couple, tattoos down one arm, tattoos down the other. And they came and they ate and they fellowshiped with us. He took a Bible home. And the man felt really comfortable. The lady was a little uncomfortable. But you know what? If Tucker Street Love in there, they can lead that man and his wife to Jesus, because he's no worse than I was. He's no worse than you were. But we want him to be as we are, filled with love and power. And you know what? That man can go places I can't go. When the Holy Ghost gets a feeling in him, he can go a lot of places that you and I can't go. The personal relationship, it is very, very important. So, we join the body of Christ in worship. We pray for guidance as to what and where the Father wants us to go and do. And then he says it real simple. Go into all the world. Go into your neighborhood. Go talk to people. Leave your comfort zone. Get in your boat and sail out into the waters that are uncharted and you've never been there. One of the ways we can touch the neighborhood and our community is find a need and fix it. Food is a need, and it's a fun fix. And then we need to have our hearts confident in the Lord. We as peacemakers, the worst thing we could do is go with a false face or a mask. So we don't put on a phony face or a high and mighty act. We just follow and believe God and be who we are where we are. We must desire our souls and their souls to be pure and biblically based. In my research, come on, Eli. This is Eli, Mr. Lee. He is my favorite and best helper. I'm going to stand right here. You remember what you're supposed to do? Okay. In my research, I realized that the Beatitudes are a journey. They start in verse 3. I got to get somewhere first. And as someone said in the world, every journey starts with step one. So as we read from verse 1 to 10, we're climbing a ladder, and our journey is not horizontal, it's vertical. And in Genesis 28, 12, and 13, we're talking about Jacob here. And Jacob dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascended and descending on it. Okay? And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and I am the God of Isaac. The land that you lay on to you, I will give it to you and your future generations. Isn't that neat? The sons of Abraham, that's, and the daughters, that's us. Now, just for fun, I went back in and looked up the word ladder. The word ladder is not a little tiny thing. The word ladder means a thoroughfare. It's not a one-way country road. It is an I-20 from the earth to heaven, and the angels come and go, and the angels are plural, so it means there's more than one coming up and more than one coming down. I believe there's myriads. Okay, thoroughfare, Interstate 20. Let's go up the ladder. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, because they'll see the kingdom of heaven. Rung 1, we're going somewhere here. Number 4, blessed are they that mourn, they'll be comforted. Woo, you know what you're doing? You're getting closer to Jesus and the Father. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. He's going to reach heaven in a minute or bump his head. Verse 6, blessed are those that hunger and thirst, because they will be filled. All right. Can you see what we're doing? We're not going this way. We're going up. We're attaining the characteristics of Jesus. Can you see Jesus here? He was poor in spirit, but he wasn't scared. He mourned. But he didn't let that get in his way. He was meek, but he went to the temple and opposed all of them. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst, because he hungered and thirsted after righteousness for us. Blessed are the merciful, number 7. All right. Blessed are the pure, for they see God. And then blessed are the peacemakers that get to the top rung, because they will be called children of God. So right now, Eli, God's saying, you're my son. I gave you an earthly daddy, but you're my son. All right, you can come down carefully. Isn't that neat? This just gripped me immensely when I figured this out and was looking at some things. But characteristics of Jesus, that's part of righteousness. From the manger to the cross, we can see the characteristics grow in Jesus. He is our peacemaker example. Before Jesus left, he told the disciples that he had to go in order that they could do their ministry, and they could spread the word, and they could lay hands on the sick, they could combat the evil in the world, and he promised them a supernatural power, the power and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. For Jesus could only be in one place at one time, but the Holy Spirit can be everywhere you're at and still be with me. He can meet all your needs and still meet my needs. We can pray for a man or a woman in Ethiopia. Kay prayed for a woman for years. She's seen her picture in a vision. We think she was from Thailand. For years and years later, we saw a picture, and Kay said, that's the woman. That's what the woman looked like. And she was from Thailand. God doesn't know any distance like we know it. All right. Hallelujah. John 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do the same thing, because I give him authority. You have heard it straight from the boss's mouth. And I think he carries a little bit of clout, don't you? You as a peacemaker can bring peace where there's turmoil. You can bring peace and healing to the soul. You can bring peace to the health. You can bring prosperity to the financial needs. You as a peacemaker, as a believer empowered with the Holy Spirit, we can change our society. We can change the worldview of our Lord and Jesus Christ. We can change our state, and most importantly, we live in Quitman area. We can change this area. We just have to let those characteristics of Jesus Christ shine through us. Now, I know it's easy for you, but sometimes me gets in the way. But anyway, my wife corrects me quite well. And I had a young lady yesterday tell me, I have this old saying, John Cameron Swayze's on radio and TV, and I was John Cameron crazy, I was here. And she heard that on my answering machine. She dressed me down like we'd skin a goat in a loving manner. She said, John, you're not crazy. People see you as crazy when you say that. But you're a man of God, and you need people to see you as a man of God, not as crazy. So I'm going to have to change. This is the little lady that speaks the Hebrew language, and she knows the word a whole lot better than I do sometimes. But anyway, we want to be and show the characteristics of Christ in this world, in this equipment. And you know what, folks? I read the last chapter. We win. But we got a lot of work to do before we get there and before we get that little laurel wreath on our head and before the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So, Matthew 10, as Paul Harvey would say, now let's get to the rest of the story. Matthew 10 says, they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And you know, I think that that's trying to tell us that even though we're righteous, even though we have power, even though think we have the peace and more love for one another than they have, but there's going to be people out there that are dealing with the enemy 100%. They're going to try to persecute us. But you know what? You've got the armor of God in Ephesians. You've got a sword of the Spirit, your Bible. And we can do it. We can stand it. Jesus stood it. That's the least we can do is stand it. So as we can stand persecution, we can do it. Now, Mike Maxson, some of you know him. He comes here once in a while, put a deal on the paper, on the Facebook yesterday, and I thought it was very fantastic. And it's a definition of peace, and let's see if I can reenact it. This is a cooperative meeting today. Okay. This is my prayer cloth from Israel. The men over there wear these when they pray and when they seek God. But today, I want you to dream of this. Think of this as peace. And peace is that prevailing substance of heaven. It can totally engulf us in our life. And when peace tames every bit of opposition that surrounds you, it's the most blessed thing in the world. Peace is not an absence of something. It is the presence of the living God engulfing you. Isn't that neat? Thank you, dear. You know, it's a good thing to have a good-looking wife when you preach. Oh, so, how many would like to be peacemakers? Yeah, all of us. I know. I tell you what, I want to really impress on you guys, you teenage guys. You need to be peacemakers in your school because there's no peace in your school except what you bring. These people that come to the rally at the flag, join them, encourage them, and say, hey, we can make a difference, and we can, and you can. I want to encourage you as teenagers. Your life is so extended out there. See, between you and me, there's 60 years nearly. 50 years at least on some of you. And that's a generation gap, I tell you. But it's you're taking on the job of winning the world behind us. And you can do it. I know you can do it. I just wish that when I was a teenager, I'd have started and had the opportunity you do. Will y'all stand with me, please? If anyone has a need for prayer, would like to be prayed for, we'll be glad to do that. How do you quit? There's no place to quit. God is so good. There's the anointing in the song service this morning was wonderful. And I got to thinking of a man that sang back in the 70s. He sang a song called The King Is Coming. His name was Doug Oldham. And did he have a voice? And he'd start off, the marketplace is empty. No more traffic in all the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, don't harvest is white. Let's go forth. Put a sickle in, because when you win a soul to Jesus, it will light a fire in you that will make a 60 millimeter cannon look like a firecracker. It'll encourage your soul. It'll give you a war dance. It'll thrill your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we go forth today, as we leave these walls, I pray that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would be upon each man, woman, boy, and girl. That power would reach into our community, into our schools, into our law enforcement, into our city government, into our county government. And Father, that we would make a difference. One person, one prayer, one word at a time. And Father, we just thank you that you give us the assurance and the power. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, let's go tell somebody. Amen.